more than they'll ever know. A great part of our church here, more than they'll ever know. And so this morning, it's a joy, it's a privilege to have Brother Maynard preach. And you mind the Lord this morning. God speaks to your heart. You're not going to scare this man, I don't think. You just mind the Lord and listen. If you're here this morning and God speaks to your heart about doing something, why don't you obey? Obey the Lord this morning.
Bless you, preacher. Well, I tell you, if you didn't enjoy that special, something bad wrong. Amen. I tell you, I was sitting there thinking about that camp song. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Splish, splash, and whoosh! I'm telling you, there is a river. It's a joy for Bree and I to be back with you in these days. And I do trust you'll be faithful. I trust you'll pray that God will have His way in the services and our hearts will be helped in the journey. And we appreciate the goodness of the Lord. We certainly do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this morning, if you will, please. The book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1. And I desire to be a blessing to this pastor and his family, and likewise the church family. I appreciate the very, very nice room that you've provided for us for this afternoon. Pastor, thank you for picking us up at the airport yesterday. Our daughter-in-law from Indiana had come in with the granddaughter just to spend a little time, and she didn't want to drive all the way back by herself, so Grandma and Grandpa said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just get in your car, your rent car, and we'll take you all the way back to Hammond, Indiana, and we'll just board us a plane and fly back to Charlotte, and your pastor was good enough to pick us up to bring us here. And so we left our car here. That was our white car sitting out there. Probably some of you wanted to steal it, but I'm glad you didn't. But it's just a joy to be here. I'm intimidated. I'm honest with you. In the ministry of missions evangelism, most of the time we're in congregations probably between 20 and 25 people. And there's nothing wrong with that because the Lord, He will meet with any size congregation. But I'm intimidated by all these faces here. Now, don't you get up and leave now, okay? You stay right there where you're at, praise God. What time are you going to be done? Whenever I'm done, amen. I enjoy studying the Bible. I enjoyed Romans this morning in Sunday school hour. And I've preached through these books of the Bible before, and these chapters before, and in regards to the second coming of Christ. And yes, He is coming back. How about the rest of you? He's coming back. Amen. Everything going on in this world right now has not caught God by surprise. Everything's lining up for the settled fact that Jesus is coming again. Chapter number 1 of the book of 1 Thessalonians is the finding of His coming. I'll see if the Lord will have us go back to that. Chapter 2 is the fellowship of His coming. Chapter 3 is the faultlessness of His coming. Chapter number 4 is the facts of His coming. Chapter 5, the formula of His coming. Yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. A thief never announces His coming. I hope you've never had your home broken into. I hope you've never had your car broken into. But I'm sure that for Mr. Thief, he's not going to call your number and say, I just thought I'd let you know I'm being down in your neighborhood tonight. Just calling and let you know that I've been scoping your house out. I'm going to be breaking in tonight about midnight. Don't be there. If you believe that, there is a hospital for you not far from here. The Lord's going to come in an hour that you think not. He could come today. He could come today. And so we need to be prepared for His coming. It's going to be a glad surprise. It's going to be a glorious resurrection. It's going to be a grave accounting and a grievous separation. But here's what the Bible is teaching me. If we're looking for His coming, then I believe in this New Testament epistle, we need to see how we are to labor and live for Him as we are looking for His coming. You know, a lot of folks got the idea, yes, we know that Christ is coming, and yes, prophetically, ever since Israel became a nation again, we ought to be that much more excited. But we need to be busy. We need to be very busy. We need to be like the basketball team that it's there's 2 minutes to go and you're in a hurry-up offense. That's how we need to be busy. I must work the works of Him while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. One of these days we'll not be able to witness to that loved one anymore. We'll not be able to serve Him through the ministries of the local church. And so, in my latter studies again of 1 Thessalonians, laboring and living for Christ as we're looking for His return. Therefore, my beloved brethren, after the great chapter of 1 Corinthians 15 that goes right down the line, speaking about the coming of Christ, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, not if we got time after we've done everything else, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Chapter 1. This morning's service is the thought of teamwork. Teamwork. Now, I like teamwork. I like seeing people labor together. I remember the years at the youth camp at Turner's Creek, how we all had a job to do and how we all had to labor together as a team. Teamwork. I still like watching a baseball game, and several weeks ago we were in Florida suffering for Jesus. And was able one day, our dear friend down at Brother Raja Sackett, he's a transplant, took me down to watch a farm team play. The Cardinals were playing the Orioles, and I'm a Cardinals fan. We just had a great time. I still like it when the ball's hit to the infield, and the infielder flips it to second base, and he throws it to first base, and they do that double play. That's teamwork! I like it. I like teamwork on the basketball floor. You can tell I'm a little bit sports-minded. They go down the floor and they throw up a finger or something to call the play for the offense. And they set screens and they pass the ball and they get the ball to the open player to score the points. When they go back down, they call a play for defense, whether it be a man-to-man or a box and one. Now, some of you ladies right now, a box and one? A zone defense. A pressing defense. To even play defense, it takes teamwork. The football games. They call a play in a huddle. Everybody, I'm saying something now, everybody's got to be listening. Everybody's got to be prepared. May these days for us be training days for us as we serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. All of a sudden they go to the front line. The center is supposed to hike the ball on a certain call. He snaps the ball to the quarterback. He's got a job. The guards have got a job. The tackles have got a job. The tight ends have got a job. The running backs have got a job. The ends have got a job. What does it take? It takes teamwork. But I tell you what fascinates me the most. And I'm not a racing fanatic. But when they pull the car into the pit area, and all of a sudden fill the tank full of gas, wash the windshield, check the chassis, and put on 4 brand new tires in just a few minutes. That takes teamwork. I mean, they don't hardly even have full service gasoline anymore. But I can assure you, when I used to work at a gas station in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, right there at the Baptist Hospital, before then worked at one in Louisville, and I went out there to wash the windshield and fill up the tank and check the air pressure, it took me a whole lot longer than it takes them in a NASCAR race. But it takes teamwork! What could Gospelite Baptist Church do for God if everybody would band together as a team. I want you to notice, first of all, this teamwork is in the church. Paul, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the church, to encourage the church. I want you to notice this teamwork by definition. First of all, the name Paul. Now, we all know a lot about the Apostle Paul in regards to the New Testament, 13 New Testament epistles, 14, if you include the book of Hebrews, and personally I do. Oh, this great hero of the faith, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, this great giant for God, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. But his name means, by definition, the little one. Let that sink in. Not everybody can be the boss. Not everybody can be in the forefront. Not everybody gets the pat on the back. Some folks get the idea in the work of the Lord, unless they are in the forefront, they're not going to do anything for God. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes every one of us developing a name like Paul, being the little one. It's not just the work of the pastor that God has placed here. Not only the work of the staff that God has placed here. Not just the ones that stand before their Sunday school class. It's those behind the scenes that no one knows what they do for the glory of God. It's everybody intertwining together, not being concerned about what everybody else is doing, but being focused on what they can do for the glory of God. I know I tell this a lot, but I still remember the days when the Lord blessed me to be at Turner's Creek, Tammy Simpson. Tammy would come to me and she'd say, "Brother Maynard, I can't coach a team. You don't want me to be a counselor." And she said, "If you'll ask my daddy, he'll tell you not to put me in the kitchen." But is there something I can do at camp? Give me the Tammy Simpsons. That was my scorekeeper. Give me the Darryl Beatties that would work that bus route with me and would go to those houses to pick up those little boys and girls. And old Darryl would prance his way down there to knock on that door to bring those kids to that bus and would have joy unspeakable coming back with children in front of him. Or he would have the saddest sad sack smile you'd ever see, which was not a smile, when those kids couldn't come or wouldn't come that morning. Darryl Beatty, well, his name will never be in boxcar letters, but he was faithful to God and was willing to do whatever he could do for the glory of God. I was in a meeting some years ago, and one came to me, "Could I just polish your shoes? Is there anything that I can do for your wife? Is there anything? See, this teamwork takes people like Paul being the little one. The word Silvanus here in verse number 1 means the saintly one. That's what Silvanus means. Teamwork not only takes us all staying in our place, but it also takes us staying in our purity. The saintly one. Maybe this would be a week of revival, that the mirror of God's Word would search us and try us and would convict us. To have a desire to live a life that's more as a Christian should live. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. We'll forgive their sin and we'll heal their land. Maybe we would have a desire to be holy in the sight of Almighty God. Walk a life in circumspection with God. Be in a life that would be pleasing unto the Lord. Confessing sin before God. And confessing sin before each other. And just simply get right with God. Keeping our bodies under subjection. The athlete must train. The athlete must stay away from those things that hinders him physically and mentally as he prepares for the athletic event. Laying aside the weights that hold us down. Why does the runner, the athletic runner, only wear the bare necessities? Because weights will slow someone down. Why do they streamline the race car? I'm not trying to be funny, but you in a horse race, you're not going to find a 300-pound jockey on that horse. Can I get a witness right there? That's right. I had a cousin that was a cross-country runner for North Carolina State University many, many years ago. And he, every time he would come down to Winston-Salem to stay a day or two with my mom and I, and when he was running track against Wake Forest, my mother would always say, "Jim, you need to eat more." He'd say, "Well, Aunt Vera, if I eat a lot, it slows me down in the race." But I'm not going to tell you how big he is now. From what I've heard from his mama, my aunt. The saintly one. Paul is the simple one. Silvanus is the saintly one. Timotheus, he's the serving one. His name means a Christian servant. We're talking about teamwork. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. I don't find any of these men trying to outdo each other. They just want to exercise teamwork. What kind of men are these? Well, they're prayer warriors for the church. Chapter 1 and in verse number 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. I want to ask something of you, church. I want to ask something of you. I really want to see the Lord breathe on this meeting. I want to see the Lord help me to be able to help you. And if you're not willing to pray for me, I might as well go to the house. But if you'll pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways, including myself too, be willing to exercise time in the secret place, cut the TV off, cut the radio off, separate ourselves, come apart before we come apart, and pray. We can see people saved this week. We can see people saved this morning. We can see God do the unusual. And God do the unexplainable. And God do things that we heard about in yesteryear. Get around an altar and pray, say, "Oh God, do it again. Do it again, Lord. Lord, you've not changed. Lord, you're immutable. You never change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." The Lord's not moved. We've moved. We've got our minds on everything else. The devil in this Laodicean church age has got us so consumed with everything going on in the elements of this world to keep up the world, we have forgot what it is to pray. We have forgotten what it is to be faithful. We have forgotten what it is to consume ourselves with the Word of God. We have tried to develop our own agendas instead of just yoking up with the team. These men were writing to the church. They're praying to the church. They remember the spirituality of the church. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And we need to be focused on that fact that everything that goes on in the church is in the sight of God and our Father. The eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. Again, Paul writes to them, remembering their spirituality. He shows again their foundation, verse 4. But for time, I move on to verse 5. He speaks to them about their soul winning and their establishing of the church, verse 5. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Notice these things, and I'll be done momentarily. As a result of their teamwork, I want you to notice how effectual that they were. Effectual. We know that verse that says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But look at chapter 1, verse 3 again. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. One commentary said that Paul not only remembers them for these things without ceasing, but he remembered them because they were without ceasing, sticking by the stuff. Their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. What are you talking about, Reverend? That's what they call me out west, the Reverend. We're talking about being faithful to the Lord. Has He not been faithful to us? Has He not been faithful to us when everything goes well? Has He not been faithful when we didn't know what tomorrow held, but we knew who held tomorrow? Has He been faithful when all you could do was cry? I'll say this. The pastor bringing us back from the airport yesterday and riding down the road and being reminded where the property where Gospel Light used to be and now where Gospel Light is now, I ask this, has not God been faithful? He talks about them being effectual. He talks about them being established. He talks about them being elected of God. Chapter 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He talks to them about being evangelistic in verse number 5 and 8. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. This is what I'm praying for this week in verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. I went to see my sister this week. I have a sister that's in her 80s. My dad was married twice. His first wife died. My dad used to travel with an evangelist. My sister and I got to talking the other day. And she said, David, I can remember a day when Daddy used to sing and Dr. Garland would preach that there would be such conviction over sin. Even when the simple gospel message went forth, there would be people that would crawl to the altar to be saved. God has not changed. I know that society has changed. But our present day has substituted the real thing for the outward emotion thing. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. It also was evangelistic in verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith that God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And I leave you with this morning. It not only was effectual and established and evangelistic, elected of God, but it was exempling to others, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. The word Christian means the mere likeness of Christ. And when we really get a burden to be Christ-like, then people will ride up down the road and say, that church over there is made up of Christians. Takes teamwork. I would hate to know on any team that I was the weakest link. I remember when I was in high school and played on the tennis team. Again, there were always five singles matches, and then there would be either two or three doubles matches. And what determined if your school won the event is if you won more than four matches with eight in all. If West Forsyth won five and they won three, then we were the school winners for that match. And I'll never forget that I was playing in the last match. And the other team was winning the team event 4-3. And it came down to the last set. And it came down to the last game. And it came down to the last point. And I lost. I not only hated it for myself, but most of all, I hated it for the team. It's not church that you're in competition with each other. It's not that the church is made up of a bunch of big shots and little shots. It's just all doing what we can individually for the glory of God. Laboring for Him as we're looking for His return. Pastor, you come with the invitation this morning. Be back in tonight's service, Lord willing, move to chapter 2. In fact, let's just go eat a hot dog. Come on back, praise God.
Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.